Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, welcome back to OMF. Ordway is off for the week. It's just Marloni and Fleury. You got the MFers coming at you here in the 3 o'clock hour. Brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams Black Friday sales event. We're going to go back in time here a little bit because this thing's been brewing for some time with our guy Christian Fleury and Greg Hill in the morning show. Let's start off with what started it all. And Greg Hill throwing a little, trying to be funny with one Devin McCourty. And I don't think Devin McCourty kind of appreciated. This was a couple of weeks ago.
If he were to throw the ball into your hands, would you be able to catch it? I feel like you've had some bad luck when it comes to interceptions this year, Devin.
I don't know if that's a joke or trying to be funny, but I'm not going to answer that.
No, I'm
going to keep my reputation the way it is, and I'm not really gonna get into that. Let's go to the next question.
Let's
go to the next question.
All right, so that was that. So Devin was.
So he stepped in it a little bit.
Yeah, he stepped in a little bit, pissed off Devin McCourty, and you know, and then of course the next week came, and Devin dropped another one, but it was a tough. I mean, it was I think in the rain, and he dove and extended for it, but he dropped it. So
tough to catch.
So then, but you go on there weekly, so you gave him a little bit of advice how to handle that one, correct?
Well, I gave him a little bit of advice before I even went on the show when we were doing some interviews and stuff like that. I was just kind of messing around. I was like, what you really need to do to kind of lighten the mood and to kind of make him less defensive and just, you know, maybe we can all make fun of ourselves is you need to tease him a little bit and say, am I in your head now? Like, you say, hey, listen, you dropped another one. I must be in your head. To the effect, or like, listen, okay, it's a way to break the ice. Let's not act like, let's not ignore the issue. Let's break the ice and get right into it and just realize that we all kind of overreacted.
So he took your advice, and the following week, when he had Devin McCourty, it sounded a little bit like this, kind of throwing you under the bus here.
I've been so anxious because I love you to death, and I was trying to make this is nice that we're making up. I was so nervous, and honestly, I just was trying to make a dumb joke, and there I am. Christian Fleury said yesterday he was worried that I got in your head, that I'm renting space in your head, and that's why the
I picked that from Fleury, so we can't really say anything about that.
Wow.
Wow. That hurt. I still got some scars.
You
the
gave him advice how to handle it, and he said that you're the one that it's in his head. And
yep.
And I understand. So
you understand that,
oh my
though,
God,
right?
I'd be pissed.
Like you'd be a little angry also.
Yeah.
So I vented.
Just ask the damn question
week. Yourself.
Why you got to use me as a shield?
I feel like there's no need for me to be a crutch. You've been in radio for a long period of time. There's no need to use me. Just say it on your own. But whatever. It is. It happened. And so I went on a little mini rant,
invaded Mutt's show. You took over the segment just to show how irritated you were by this.
Oh, I was. I thought you were going to play it. But so I went on today. And I was in a better mood, Lou. And Ryan, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to play. Why don't you, where are we at with what part time I was actually on the show?
This is about right at the beginning of the phone call. You weren't wasting any time in telling Greg how you felt about those Devin McCourty comments.
Christian, I'm the new guy around.
Let's have that discussion. Let's go. Go.
I'm
apologize. Kiss my ass. Take the knife out of my back. Start crawling on your knees and begging for forgiveness. I'm hurt more than anything. I apologize.
You are. When it comes,
I don't accept your apology.
Now, when it comes to holding grudges, I hope you're not that kind of person, Christian. I offer my sincere apologies. I will never do that again.
I have one thing Lewis told me is that in order to be a true New Englander, you have to be able to hold a grudge.
Correct.
So it goes. I'm not that way. That is, I'm from the West Coast, and we go at a different level. So I will ask Lou if it's okay if I can release the grudge that I'm holding.
All right.
And I'll see what he says.
All right, we're back live.
So you want to accept his apology? He apologized.
You go, I don't accept your apology.
I don't accept it. No, he just pulled the Band-Aid off and the wound was exposed again. So what do you think?
Well, I would say this. First off, I'm all for holding grudges. But
I know.
I understand because I remember hearing that sound from him with Devin the second time, and I was like, God, that's like, you say something, or if he had, like, say, a Red Sox player on or something like that, he's like, well, Lou Maloney said, and it's like, he didn't. I didn't say that. I was saying that this is something that maybe how you can handle it better. I didn't say it. And just sort of throwing you under the bus, putting something in the back of Devin McCourty's mind. Now, when Devin McCourty said we expect that from Foguier, how do you take that? That he expects that because he's heard you be critical before?
I don't know. Or talk trash?
You're a trash talker about the team?
Yeah, it's funny because when the comments were first made, I remember killing Greg for even asking the question the way he did.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, Devin, you should be pissed.
Yeah, but we expect that from Foguier, so.
So that hurt a little bit. I don't want to be lumped into that. And now, listen, I'm not all Zolak and Chatham and ex-players who just see no wrong. Like, I'd like to be critical of these guys. That's what we do for a living.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of a badge of honor, though, because I feel like you're the only kind of expatriate that actually speaks any word negatively
against
this team.
Christian Foguier said yesterday he was worried that I got in your head.
Right? I mean, there isn't any former Patriots here in this market that are critical of these guys.
Yeah, and the thing is that, I think Wiggy feels like
on
he's
radio.
In the middle of it. Because I asked Wiggy, hey, tell the truth. Like, if this was a gang, if we were, and somebody in our gang, Oxy Posse, if someone in the Oxy Posse, Lou, stepped out like that and stabbed you in the back, somebody that you like, somebody that you looked up to, and then stabbed you in the back, what would the Oxy Posse do? Like, what would be the Oxy Posse's form of revenge?
I don't even know if it would happen or not. You know, I really don't. Maybe we'd
get jumped out,
maybe
right?
Maybe we'd take their Oxy Posse jacket from them.
Maybe their badge, their Oxy Posse.
Yeah, yeah. Take the badge off.
Would you burn their Oxy Posse tattoo off their flesh?
No, maybe we would back in the day. We might have shaved their tail off. You know, cause probably Wiffles,
my tail. Oh my God.
Wiffles with tails. You know, that type of thing. Kind of as a disgrace. You disgrace the family. How dare you step outside the family? As far as grudges go, you know, I love to hold grudges. So there's two couple types of grudges. One is just out front, out in the open, you just don't even deal with Greg ever again.
I'll never talk to you again. You're dead to me.
And there's the other grudge. I feel like there's a part of my brain that just stores memories.
Yes.
And they never go away. You know what I mean?
Those are the ones that really are effective.
It stays there forever. You know, like somebody does something and it's easy to be someone says I'm sorry. You know, listen, I'm really sorry that happened. You're like, you know what? No big deal. We're going to move on. You know, but really, it's there. It stays there in the back of your mind. It never leaves. And that's why things come up maybe later on in life. You're just you don't give somebody a second chance. Yeah, you just hold on to it.
Like batting number 15 for the Boston Red Sox, Donnie Sadler.
Yeah, yeah. It's just there. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter. I have a great relationship now with a guy like Dan Duquette. But it's still there, you know.
Yeah,
it's just kind of hidden in the back of the brain.
It takes a bigger man to accept the apology, especially because I'll say this: Greg's a good guy. They got a great show. I would say that you know what I want is a form of apology. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's for Danielle and Wiggy. That's what it's really for. I would like Danielle and Wiggy's name to be part of that show. I want it to be Greg Hill. Featuring Danielle and Wiggy.
I would say this. His form of apology should be to man up the next time there is a tough question that needs to be asked.
Okay.
And ask it like it's coming from him.
Not a texter?
Not from you. Not a texter.
I wasn't
an emailer. Not a phone call. Like
not
next
Curtis,
time you have a tough question, this how, the one way you could apologize to me. Next time there's a tough question to ask, ask it from you. Mm. That would be okay. Now we're good, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's showing me that you've learned your lesson. Yeah, I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. But it's hard for me to carry that grudge like you. Like it's hard for me to admit that that's something I'm capable of doing. Like it's because I naturally want to get along with everybody. Right.
We're on video. We can see you winking, stupid. Come on.
Wait, did you see my okay?
Yeah, we saw the okay sign. I actually have a point to bring up here. So I'm still not positive if you're going to accept that apology. It sounds like you don't want to deal with the grudge. But aren't you kind of mad at Greg for a reason that Lou should be mad at you? Greg asked, "Do you forgive me?" And you turned around and said, "Well, Lou says I shouldn't hold grudges." Aren't you kind of throwing Lou under the bus because you don't want to address whether you forgive him or not?
No, but it's like something I'm proud of.
Yes.
It's, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Like, totally like different. Your rugged East Coastness
no,
is kind
something
of
I'm proud
off
of.
On
like,
West Coast
I, someone
Fourier.
Says, like, you hold a grudge. I don't sit there and take that, like, you know, how dare you? Like, you coming at me? I'd say thank you. Yes.
What's that?
Yes, I do. So yeah, what's that, Bill? No, I whatever. Like, Bill, it's in the back of my mind. Like, I go into it with nice, but it's close.
Well, to me, it's Lou's version of once you snatch the pebble from my hand, now you have arrived. So once you accept the begrudgery and everything that goes along with it, you know, now you are real New England.
Yeah, so I don't
now
have a
you're
problem.
One of us.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, so, isn't Greg from here? Isn't he from, like, New England?
Yes, I think North Shore guy.
Does that count?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, is that a tough area? Is that where tough guys hang out?
Well, it depends on what part of North Shore you're from. If you're from Lynn, like where Glenn grew up, like the hood, like Glenn's a city guy. You know what I mean? You could tell he's a city guy. So, you know, it's a little bit, to certain parts.
Yeah, maybe for forgiveness. I'm hurt more than anything.
But that doesn't bother me, Ryan, one bit. Like, I take pride in that. That's nothing big. I can handle that. That's a
no,
piece of cake.
I think I'm going to have to, I think I'm going to give it the long Thanksgiving weekend. And then by Monday I'll be fine.
When's your next appearance on this show? Is it Thursdays at 8:30?
Next Thursday
at 8:30.
Listen, I really look forward to that appearance. I mean, like it's
we can see you winking again, Christian.
I'm not winking.
I know you
Stop
are on video.
I'm
I can
not
see
winking.
That now.
I'm not
the
winking at all. Signs. I like it. It's different. I love talking with Wiggy. The only problem is I don't hear enough Danielle. More Danielle.
All right, let me go. I want to go to Dana in Waltham because he wants to join in this conversation. Go ahead, Dana. What do you got? You're on L1F.
Hey, Christian Foyer, I love you as a player. I love you as an analyst. I don't see how bad Greg was there. You know, I mean, maybe he heard something he didn't hear. I mean, obviously he apologized for his actions. He spoke out of turn. But, I mean, he didn't say nothing bad. Like, what did he say? Like, oh, Christian Foyer said, maybe I got in your head. Maybe I got in your head. So maybe I heard it wrong. Maybe I didn't. It's not something to be evil about. Like, yeah, just forget it. Move on.
I would say in the radio world, that's kind of like, stealing from your club. Like, it's kind of like spitting at somebody's face. Yeah, that's what it is. I equate it to being spit in the face.
I mean, you guys are attacking him. Like nonsense. It really sounds ridiculous what you guys are talking about. It really does. On the outside.
What do you do for a living?
As far as I fix appliances, but I've been a chef for 30 years, so.
You've been a chef.
No, I fixed appliances, yeah.
Hey, would you be upset if somebody took credit or blamed you for a bad meal?
Of course.
Okay, so it is kind of a big deal.
No, but it's
sort of a new guy to our situation and doesn't really know how to speak our language.
Our language.
Dan, thanks for the call. But it's sort of like it's been like a pattern. Like we were getting on it before, like passing the buck, which I feel like he did there with Foyer. Do you remember this? Did he say this first? Are we playing that one first?
Does it bother you when some say that the team ought to tank this season?
Who is some?
Time to say farewell, goodbye to Cam. It's rebuild central.
So he's talking about rebuild and tank, and then he gets Cam on, and he's like, does it bother you when some people say? Well, you said it.
Well, listen, in defense of Greg, he did say he's the new guy. Christian, being the new guy, I think you really should cut him some slack.
Can we listen? Greg has been in radio forever.
What?
Forever. Yes. Has he not been in radio forever?
It's like a race between who's been in it longer, Greg or Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn thinks it's him, but I actually think it's Greg. I think Greg, has a long, like, Greg's like never been fired.
He's uninterrupted.
Yes,
Greg gets that championship. Through. Absolutely.
Glenn took a quick little break.
It was a mutual separation with Glenn. We don't like using that word. It's mutual separation.
Okay, that's fine. It'll happen to us one day, so what do I care?
Christian Fourier said yesterday he was worried that I got in your head.
All right, listen, we come back. Teddy Bruschi is going to join us at the bottom of the hour here at 4:30. Chris Mannix as well. He's going to join us at 5:30, talk a little more Celtics and Danny Ainge, Gordon Hayward. We'll get all that. But next, big change to your Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving's been altered for a lot of people, except for the mayor of Denver, apparently. He's going to fly out to Houston to see his wife and daughter. But for a lot of you, Thanksgiving's going to be a little bit different this year. And when you turn on the TV at night, it'll look a lot different with no football. We'll get into that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to OMF. Listener discretion advised.
I don't think fans cared enough about me that if I left, they would really give a shit.
Sorry.
It's damn near.
Oh. He's going to get a bunch of. Oops.
Worse than Lou.
Does it sometimes just come down to. Did I just drop an F bomb right there?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on F-ing WEEI.
Oops.
Sunday afternoon at a time to be determined, the Ravens and Steelers will play the game that was originally scheduled for Thursday night. And this is really the first time in several weeks, guys, that the NFL has decided to postpone a game due to COVID-19 concerns. A couple prominent Ravens, including J.K. Dobbins, including Mark Ingram, have tested positive for COVID-19. My understanding, a couple more players are expected to be added to the list in all. Seven players. Over the past 3 days, Roger Goodell made the decision in consultation with experts that it is health and safety, the safety of the players and all involved over TV ratings. So, yes, out of an abundance of caution, the game gets postponed.
That was Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, going over the situation here tomorrow night to this Ravens-Steelers game. Big primetime game, NBC. I mean, the game of the day. You know, if either of those other two games got canceled, no big deal. But that's the game everyone's looking forward to. And now that's it. They're going to postpone until Sunday. Still no time yet for that game.
Yeah, I tell you what. Out of all the games to lose, that's the one you just – can we not – can you take the Lions? Take the Lions and the Texans. Take those guys and cancel that one. And you know what? Don't even replay it. Don't forget about postponing it, rescheduling it. Just don't even play it. Nobody cares. It's the early game. The other thing, when I saw this, like, all right, so they lost that game, which was a really big game because the last time the Baltimore Ravens played against the Steelers slapped them around. They had so many turnovers. They still came within 4 points of winning that game, but they lost nonetheless. So there was, and based on the way things have been trending for the Ravens, they really needed this game. They really needed a win.
Yep.
Man, you would think since they lost that game that they would at least maybe push the Cowboys out to that late night game, that 8 o'clock time slot. They didn't. What they did is they took that Ravens game that it's already been postponed and scheduled for 1:15 on Sunday. So that's set now. They're playing Sunday at 1:15. You're going to have a ton of games at 1 o'clock on Sunday and barely any in that, yeah, in that second window.
I saw this from Florio, too. He says, per a source with knowledge of the situation, the Ravens' outbreak could get worse. He said, the league and the team know how the outbreak began, and the league and the team believe that by Friday, it'll be known whether the outbreak is contained or not. So there's still a chance they don't play on Sunday. And because next Thursday's game is the Ravens and Cowboys, they can't just move it to Monday or Tuesday night, right, like we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Because they got a Thursday night game, unless they move that game, right, which I don't think you'd want to. So this could be a situation to where, you know, you could be seeing the first game played in week 18 for the NFL, right? Because if they can't, if they got to know by Friday. I mean, if there's another more positives Thursday, if there's more positives Friday, they won't play this game on Sunday. Team already has 7. If it continues, you're going to have a week 18 in the NFL. And then you keep your eyes on Baltimore and Pittsburgh, yeah, who already have a week 18 game. If anything was to happen with them the rest of the year, you know, the next 5 or 6 weeks, now you've got some serious problems here.
See, if I'm Baltimore, I mean, I know Pittsburgh is really getting taking the brunt of this based on the fact that they officially have no bye week. They lost their first bye week because they had to kind of postpone and reschedule their game against the Tennessee Titans, and they played that during their bye week. And this one was a mini bye week, Thursday night game. You're assuming you have some time off. That's not happening anymore. So they were already ready to play this game. But if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, I think based on the way things have been trending, I hope they postpone this game until week 18. I would like to kind of gather my thoughts, regroup, get healthy. I mean, Calais Campbell is one of the guys that's on COVID right now. He didn't even play when you played against the Patriots.
Right.
So I would think that this could be a blessing in disguise.
For Baltimore, but not for Pittsburgh. You mentioned it. Pittsburgh was supposed to have a week 8 bye. Week 4, they got ready to play Tennessee all week long. That wasn't a bye. It ended up being one because they didn't play, but they practiced all week. So that week 8 bye, they lost it. They played Tennessee in week 8. Now you got this one here, Thursday, you know, play Thanksgiving Day. So you got your mini bye. So you can sort of make up for what you lost maybe in the year, whatever. Now you've lost that as well. And you're about to play a team, a Baltimore Ravens team, that was reeling. And so they lost two running backs. You know, they lost another nose tackle. You know, and Calais Campbell as well and others. But, you know, I remember watching a game two weeks ago where, what was it, the Green Bay Packers? Like, they lost running backs. San Francisco 49ers lost wide receivers, and they played the game. Now, I mean, I don't know, advantage one or the other, you know, like, but I think Aaron Jones actually got back in that game. So maybe it was advantage Green Bay because San Fran didn't have any wide receivers, and he had Aaron Jones, but you know, you played through it. But I think this is because not just what happened on Monday with Dobbins and Ingram, it's continued. You know, and now you get 7 players over 3 days. You know, so Monday wasn't the problem. The problem was Tuesday. Problem was Wednesday. You know, and if it continues to Friday, you're going to have a week 18.
I know that the Steelers are kind of upset. They feel like, you know, they're being taken advantage of, and you know they're getting the brunt of this, and they've done nothing.
And it hasn't
wrong.
Affected them yet. Just the teams they're playing.
No, it hasn't. And I would say, I mean, I feel like, you know, there was a time where there was all hell was breaking loose, and the Titans were under major issues, and then the Patriots were under issues, and the Raiders had some issues. But for the most part, they've done a fabulous job of making sure they keep these games. Like, they haven't lost one game yet officially. They haven't lost any games. They've postponed some and kicked the game down the road a little bit. They haven't lost anything. And so, and I think Now, my last week, my original theory was that if there was a major COVID outbreak and games got pushed to that, you know, that second week or game, teams had to play games like the San Francisco 49ers when they played with like 14 players, like they had a shell of a team, that they would have an ability to get in the playoffs just because some other team took an L because they just didn't have any players. But I would say there's still a chance if they have a COVID outbreak. I still feel like if they get, even if they get to 7-9, there could be a shot.
Well, I'll say this. So right now, 7-8-9 seeds. Right now, the Vegas Raiders have the 7 seed.
Yeah.
It goes tiebreakers over Miami and Baltimore. But Baltimore 6-4. They get the tiebreak over Miami for the moment. Miami 6-4. And then there's you and Denver that are 4-6. And Denver's got the tiebreak over you for beating you. So you're still two games out of that eighth spot. You know, I mean, obviously the odds would be better. Now, if you had taken care of business against Houston, you're sitting there 5-5. Now, I might be on board with you. But you lose a game like that, you know, to the Houston Texans, who are 2-7, although I think they're better than the 2-7 record, given the teams they played. Man, you're still far out. You are still so far out. Like, you're two games out of, you know, the ninth spot, let alone the seventh or eighth. And, you know, you're not doing well in tiebreakers there. I mean, you got one over the Ravens and the Dolphins, I guess, but and the Raiders, actually all 6-4 teams. But still, yep. It ain't happening, bro. Like it ain't
no,
happening.
I think it'd be even worse.
Like, it was like,
I don't think it is.
It's like when baseball expanded their playoffs and the Sox still weren't close.
Yeah.
Like, if you expand it to 8, not 6 now, we've already extended it to 7, but 8 from 6 and you still a game or two out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
That even looks worse.
I agree with you. I think the interesting story is, I mean, there's been teams that have had a more difficult set of circumstances based on how they get ready for the game, the Patriots being one of them. But other than that, most of the teams, even the Raiders last week before they played the Chiefs, they had almost like, I don't know, was it their entire offensive line? It was like so many players were basically, you know, couldn't come to work, had to isolate. And they all came back, didn't practice, just had Zoom meetings. And they had a real good opportunity to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but they couldn't do it.
So
they weren't affected by it.
So there's your Thanksgiving. It's already been disrupted for most.
Yeah.
It's not going to be your normal Thanksgiving, so you're going to have a...
Oh, can I add to this?
What do you want to add to?
Oh, I guess it's not Thanksgiving because Nick Saban has COVID. So he will not be coaching the Iron Bowl. That's a Thanksgiving tradition. It's not on Thanksgiving,
right?
But it's a Thanksgiving tradition. So
you're going to have the Texans at the Lions at 12:30. You got Washington at the Cowboys at 4:30. Doesn't look like those times will be moved. And the game you're all going to want to settle in and watch will not be happening right now. And a huge loss for NBC. I mean,
you're going to have the Sound of Music. NBC is going to play the Sound of Music.
I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I know what we're going to do next, though. We're going to talk to our guy, Teddy Bruschi. He's going to come on with just the MFers here this week. Ordway is out. Teddy Bruschi joins us next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
3-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Yeah, see, everybody knows Cheers.
Everybody, that one's easy.
Oh, it is an easy one. All right, listen, Teddy Bruschi, brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, Window Nation, Kaplansky Insurance. They shop, you save at Kaplansky.com. And by Zooty, build any apps your company needs in a week. Week visit Zooty.com for details. I whipped through that one pretty good, huh?
Yeah,
no
you
problem
did.
At all.
You
all right, listen,
right
no Ordway today, so it's just the MFers. It's Maloney and Fourier with my man Teddy Bruschi here on the line. Let me bring him up real quick. Brew, what's up, man?
Guys, what's up? I'm doing good. No Lou today. That's all right. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll
no
be
Ordway.
Fine.
No Ordway. And,
Ordway. Yeah, no Ordway. It's just Ordway's a bunch of jock sniffers.
Oh. Yeah. Lou. Oh yeah. Lou. Yeah. Yeah. No Glenn. No Glenn. Okay.
No Glenn.
So Teddy, I gotta tell you, big win against Baltimore. A lot of talk about the path to the playoffs. You know, this Patriots team, big win. If they can beat Baltimore, they can beat anybody. And then Sunday happened against Houston, and now this team is sitting at 4-6. Did that one sneak up on you a little bit? Did that catch you by surprise?
I believe it was one they could win. I mean, they're competitive in the game. You know, you got a drive going at the end to, you know, possibly win the football game. But like I said, they can win everyone, they can lose everyone. And those type of teams, you know, those aren't the Final Four teams we're usually talking about when we talk about the New England Patriots playing on championship weekend. But, I mean, it's still a competitive team. I think that's the way you should look at it. And, you know, just the differences in, you know, I think the biggest difference was seeing the quarterback play and how well Deshaun played and, you know, how accurate he was and doing the things that he did. And then, you know, seeing Cam struggle, just some simple throws to the flat that were at the receiver's feet or he was missing them. It was just different play at the quarterback position. Once again, the Patriots defensively against a quarterback like that, you're just going to have some struggles. So, you know, the usual problems popped up again, but still in the end, they're competitive. And that's where the coaching kicks in and you don't have the unnecessary mistakes. Although there were some penalties that I thought, man, this offense is just hard to recover over a 10-yard holding penalty like that. But it's a team that they have. And unfortunately, right now, I mean, they're just, you know, so far on the bottom of the ladder when it comes to the playoffs that you're just looking at for what this team is now. And that's a competitive team.
Yeah, the one thing I thought we could count on, Teddy, was the secondary. I knew their front seven was suspect, you know, based on all the yards that they were giving up to other teams. But what happened to the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, the way Deshaun makes you cover longer, that's where the problems come in. And then the accuracy he was even showing, which was so, it wasn't surprising, but it was like consistently just on the money. Yeah, the secondary just couldn't cover them down. I mean, it just wasn't tight enough. Whether it was zone and they found the holes in the middle of the field or, you know, them just making plays in one-on-one, running pick plays, whatever it may be, I just thought that, you know, you're right. The strength should be the secondary, but then when you got that being beat and a quarterback having success, then you just know it's going to be a long day. I can't specifically tell you what the problems were. It's just that, you know, it's just the same thing coming up over and over again, an easy completion here, non-competitive completion there. That's the problems they had on Sunday.
So, Teddy, do you think it was, like, scheme-related? Do you think they approached this game defensively the right way? Do you think, you know, do you think that the structure and the philosophy going in against the Houston Texans, like what they did on defense, was structurally sound? Or do you think they could have done a better job?
Yeah, I didn't see, I mean, watching the game, I mean, today even again, seeing any type of glaring, like, what the heck are they doing there in terms of scheme? That's completely different or something like that. I mean, I didn't see that. I mean, these are schemes and concepts they've run for a long time. And, you know, I think you go down to just personnel issues to where, you know, it's hard for Duggar. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, but you're playing good tight ends and that are bigger than you. It's just you're there, but you just don't make the play and you get a big completion. I think it's just those type of things where you've got a secondary who some members are in the developmental phase and that's where you have the discrepancies. But no, in terms of scheme and structure, I mean, isn't like, what the heck were they doing out there on this play? Why'd they play man? Why'd they play zone? Where was the bust? I didn't recognize glaring mistakes that way.
Well, we're talking to Teddy Bruschi. Teddy, you mentioned Cam Newton, you know, 365. I know whatever it was, 60 was kind of last 8 seconds of that game. But I think the big surprise for me was Damian Harris. You know, he had 7 carries in the first 2 drives, 36 yards, going up against the worst rushing defense in the league. And I'm sure that, you know, these guys, they showed him, you know, they boxed, put all the guys in the box and maybe made it tough for them to run. But I don't think week 10 or 11 was the first time Houston tried to do that. And they still weren't capable of stopping it all year long. And it seemed like the Patriots just got away from it.
Yeah, the numbers say that. I mean, in... You talked about even the Cam numbers, the 360 or whatever it was. I just thought there was even more there.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they saw. I mean, I thought Cam could have put the ball in the right places to get to close to 400 yards, just a few catch and runs, and there they go. You know, so I thought this would be a big running game where they could just, you know, pound the rock and then use the play action and over Harris and the running back position. But, you know, that wasn't there either. So I wouldn't say, I mean, they go, this offensive staff goes with the flow in terms of what's working and what they feel is going to be successful, and that can change within drives, within quarters. So, I mean, they were moving the ball, and like I said, competitive until the end and where you still have a chance to win it. I think that's the position they want to be ultimately. And if they have a chance to win on the last drive or make a stop, I think you have to take that from this type of team, because the dominant wins are just not there anymore. I mean, I even think the dominant losses where you just get your butt kicked, those are rare even. I know there was the Niners, but still, this team is going to have it close based on a plan that's always fluid. Mm-hmm. I think they need players to make bigger plays in certain spots. I think that's been missing also. And a little bit better quarterback play consistently over the course of 4 quarters. But after that, I mean, this is the team you got, guys.
Yeah, and Teddy, it's you know, this week, you know, everybody's taking shots, and everybody's a target. The one guy who I thought doesn't deserve any real criticism is Josh McDaniels, just based on, you know, how he has changed up, how he has improvised. I feel like he's almost the MVP when it comes to this team. I'm just curious to know what you think about it and how he's done.
No, I mean, in just the same way offensively, I mean, in terms of plans, I mean, I know we can say they got away from running the football, but still they have success throwing it, and they're competitive in the end, so what do you look at? But definitely what Josh is doing, I think is very positive in terms of how he's using Cam Newton and, you know, focusing on his greatest weapon, which is the offensive line. You know, and when teams think maybe you're going to run it a bunch, there you go. I mean, that's what Houston was probably thinking also. They're going to take it downfield, and Cam hits one downfield. I think it was to Bird. So I think Josh is having a fantastic year calling plays with an entirely different offensive philosophy, entirely off a different skill set and talent at quarterback and the way he's using him. At this point of the year, week 11, week 12, are you starting, as Patriots fans and as someone who's watching them every single week, are you starting to recognize, okay, here comes this, here comes that, swing pass, you know, quick little option, quick little quarterback power, those type of things? Yes, but still, you have the quarterback in the offensive line where you have to have the confidence, even if they know the play, we're still going to run it because our best running back is our quarterback and he's going to get the first down. So I think that type of mentality is also Josh's preaching, that they're going to know what is coming right there and we still got to get it done. I mean, that type of stuff, that's good coaching right there from the offensive perspective.
Talking to Teddy Bruschi, and Teddy, you've seen it before, you know, just like core players in this Patriot on the team, you know, defensively, offensively, whatever, just sort of passing that torch. And I'm curious what you've seen recently. A lot of talk about, you know, the rebuilding year, and you start seeing some of the names the next year or two that could even move on to make it even worse. Have you seen, like, enough from guys like Uche or Jennings or Kyle Duggar or, you know, some of these other guys that sit there and say, okay, I can see it now. I could see these guys being a core, Winovich, moving forward.
Yeah, are there... I mean, what I'm seeing at least now is they're giving us the opportunity to see if they have it. Because you know, Winovich disappeared for a little while. Where was that? Where in the world was Uche earlier in the year? So at least now they're out there showing us that, you know, this is something we need to look at and come to a conclusion on, because I think that that has to be done before the end of this year in the position that they're in and what they can do in terms of roster flexibility next year and cap-wise. They need to make conclusions on a handful of these players that this is what I want to see, and yes, I think that potential you showed from the improvement that you showed, you're going to be one of these players that can turn into a core player. Yes, Duggar, getting him out there a little more. Of course, the physical aspect of Duggar is there, and that's who he is, but still, he has to improve more also. Can that possibly happen? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's too early to close the book on these guys. And to tell you the truth, maybe they're thrust into these roles a little too early. I mean, fellas, I didn't really get thrust into a starting situation until my second or third year because there were older guys in front of me. And that's how you hope it would be, where rookies can look and then see it by example, and then get little bits and pieces of experience. But with the losses of guys and the opt-outs and the injuries, it's like, boom, we need to see it now. Go out there and show us. And you got to remember that, too, that, I mean, this is really early for a lot of young players like Uche, I mean, like Duggar, and you've got to see, do they show you just a little bit of a flash that says, maybe he's got something there, and you take that with you and hopefully into the future.
So, Teddy, obviously big game this week with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, friend of the show, former mystery guest, he was only with the Patriots for a year. Now, I had a lot of interaction with Cliff because he was basically like a coach. He was almost like a college version of a GA.
Yeah, what year was that, Foyer? Because I was with Cliff there that year also.
Yeah, and so. I was curious to know do you remember him? And if you do, like, what do you remember about him?
Well, you don't remember much. He was a good dude because, I mean, he didn't do much. He was like scout team, read the cards, and we'll see what you do. Well, he had a girlfriend back then we talked about or something like that.
But so it was basically, hey, don't get in my way, rookie, right? Is that basically what it is? Because you wouldn't interact with him.
He was one of those guys you just had fun with because it was, hey, man, I need you to do this, right? I need you to do that. And so, you know, I'm still in touch with Cliff, and he's a great guy and a friend of mine. But it's just amazing, just the skyrocketing of success that he's had and the situation that he was given in terms of you're a head coach and you also got the number one overall pick, and here's Kyler Murray. So he's going to be able to do everything you absolutely want to do. And I tell you, this Murray kid, guys, I mean, he's just fantastic. And with the ball in his hands, I mean, it's Tyreek Hill with an arm. Really, I think he's that explosive. He's that quick. He doesn't have the long speed of Hill, but by that time he's running out of bounds or sliding. I mean, he's only getting touched on his runs about half the time. I mean, even contacted. So he's that quick and that elusive. It's just such a unique threat.
Were you surprised that this offense, Cliff Kingsbury offense, this Texas Tech, this legitimately college offense, especially with the speed. We look at some of these college teams where this tempo that they want to create with the and the indecision that they want to promote with the defense. Did you think it would be as successful as it is?
Well, it's just where the NFL is going offensively. Yeah, I did think he'd have success, especially since he got the quarterback. I didn't know a lot about Murray before he got into the league. I mean, but then seeing him on the field, it was just like, this is going to work for Cliff because all the things that the quarterback can do. They do still make an effort to run the football. This is a solid offensive line also, and they add DeAndre Hopkins, and it's just someone that Kyler just can just feel incredibly confident on and just throw it into a place where I know he's going to catch it and he gets it done. So that type of combination, I mean, this offense is very, very good with one of the most dangerous weapons in the NFL at the quarterback position, in my opinion.
You're talking to Teddy Bruschi here in the Harbor One Hotline. And, Brew, we were talking about Kyler Murray, and you just faced Lamar Jackson. And, you know, he's similar elusiveness, right? He can run, he's quick, but he probably throws the ball better. Then you got Deshaun Watson, who's not as quick as Kyler Murray, but probably throws the ball a little bit better than Kyler. So he's kind of like in between of these two guys. So Does it help going up against Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and facing this guy, or is he just a different breed?
I think, yeah, you're right. Both of them give you a little bit of peace of, you remember how we, I mean, I think it's more Deshaun Watson than Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson is basically, I mean, you're defending the running aspect of it. I don't know how much defensively in a meeting room you're going to respect him as a passer. Yeah. That's just the bottom line. But you're going to respect it from Deshaun, and Deshaun still has the element of moving around in the pocket and creating that schoolyard I talked to you about last week. But Kyler, I think, is better in that aspect in terms of both of them. And he's more leans towards Deshaun Watson in terms of how he throws the football. So it's a huge task for the Patriots defensively, and especially is how long these plays can last, because you're going six seconds maybe. I mean, 6-7 seconds based on how much he scrambles. And you saw the difficulty when Deshaun Watson, when he made it go into the secondary phase of a play. Because when you have a young defense, fellas, and you got the young, you know, the young players out there with not a lot of experience, you can coach them as much as you can in terms of the initial structure of the play. And then there's a second structure of the play where the instincts and sort of route combination recognition comes into play, and you sort of know where you have to be then. Because based on the personnel, based on the experience of know the receiver, where is he going to go, and then also the quarterback. So it's just levels that, you know, members of the secondary aren't there yet, or even the linebackers. But you know, that's just something that with Kyler Murray, like I said, this is a very difficult task for the Patriots.
Yeah, so you got him winning this game, Teddy? You got the Patriots bouncing back?
Once again, I think it still can be competitive. I really think the plans that they come up with offensively and defensively, they can still execute. And do I think it can be a fourth quarter game? I still think so. I don't see this as a blowout game. I just see it as still being competitive. So I think it's something they can win. In terms of picking them, I mean, I wait till Sunday. I'll wait.
COVID. No, I think you're right, though, Teddy.
It's a flip of the coin.
Yeah, I think you could say that for the rest of the season, like every game they go into. You know, maybe you won't like them against the Rams. I don't know. But I think every other game you're sitting there saying, yeah, who knows, right? Flip of the coin.
Yeah, and which camera you're going to get, really, yep, in terms of consistency is always something. And
well, you've gotten good camp for 3 weeks now, right? I mean, haven't you said like 3 weeks now? He's done a pretty good job.
Good enough.
I know, and I just still want more. Cause
you
I
don't
know
believe
he,
it, though, do you? You don't believe it. I don't think you believe it.
I just know there can be more. Just the easy stuff. I'm like, oh, there's that throw right there you should make. But then there's like a 20-yard in cut. It's like, phew, he just slams it in there. It's like, there he is, but boom, there it's not. So I know we've got more in him, and maybe we'll see it against the Cardinals.
Teddy, real quick, before I let you go for Thanksgiving, just your thoughts on what you're seeing down at Tampa Bay. You know, Bruce Arians talking about the deep ball. Brady Ofer's last 22 in the deep ball, and looks good for the first half. The second half, he just doesn't look like himself. Just what is going on down there?
I think there's a combination of two things that's just holding the Tampa Bay offense back, and also Brady in terms of his success, and one's Bruce Arians, because the guy's just stubborn. And Tom's in the middle of a team with a head coach that our old Patriot teams would love going up against a team like this, because they have the philosophy, we do what we do. And we're just going to do it. We're better than you. We think our players are better, so go ahead and do what you want. I'm still going to throw my deep routes and all this and all that. And so we would just adjust to it and take it away and know that they'd still force it in there, and we'd pick it off. We'd do something like that. So Bruce Arians and that type of stubbornness, and also the second thing that's holding that offense back are the running backs. They can't catch.
Yeah.
They have most drops at the running back position, I think it was. My guys at ESPN told me. It's like, and I need, as a quarterback in Brady, let me get my five, man.
Yeah.
All I want is five. Catch it, fall forward. It's second and six, or it's second and seven, or you never know. You break a tackle, there's our first down, and we're moving the chains. That's what they're not getting. And to watch over and over, Fournette, drop it, Jones, drop it. And you can see the look on Tom's face like, dude, you'll never be James White. You know, something like that. Just something like that. Because those are the easy yards that you take that Tom just doesn't have anymore. So he's got to push it down the field.
All right, Teddy Bruschi. Brew, man, have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you next week. All right, it's Teddy Bruschi. All right, listen, this hour of OMF is brought to you by Golfers Warehouse. When we come back, Fourier, Merlone. Yeah, there is a game on Sunday, and today's the last day for us to talk about it. So we're going to dive into Patriots, Cardinals. And is this a bigger challenge this week than it was last week? We'll do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!